I don't know if any of you were awake about 3 o'clock this morning. I happened to be awake. Did you hear the severe downpour we got? It was fantastic, wasn't it? Or maybe that's just me. I thought it was hail, and then I looked outside and it was just pouring. But anyway, for us in Colorado, it's always good to see the rain. But it's amazing how sometimes we can see we're never happy. If it rains, it rains too much. If it doesn't rain enough, then we say it doesn't rain enough. We're that way. We're finicky, aren't we? But my dear brothers and sisters, the homily today is not about the rain, I promise you. This weekend, we're celebrating Trinity Sunday, which is also leading us into next weekend, with the Feast of Corpus Christi, but also in the United States, it's next weekend. We're going to begin the Eucharistic Revival Year for the parish. This is a three-year process that began last year on the diocesan level. And I'll explain as I do the homily. I'll explain about what the Eucharistic Revival is, but. The bishops of the United States got together and saw the need for this, they're very right. There is a serious need for this, and so it began in a phase this last year. It began on the level of the diocese, and so you may have noticed if you read the diocesan news that the diocese has been doing more things aimed towards the Eucharist. And now we're coming to the year in which, beginning next Sunday and going till the Sunday of Corpus Christi of 2024, we're going to be focusing on the Eucharist here in the parish and doing different activities to strengthen our belief in the Eucharist, to strengthen our growth in the Eucharist and all things of the such. And so this is really an important feast. And so we want this weekend and next weekend, we're going to be doing our homilies focused on the Eucharist. And we're going to begin this year, this Eucharistic Revival Year on the parish level, next Saturday after Mass with an all-night adoration from Saturday into Sunday morning. So I'm going to be inviting you to come during the night. We'll be sending out a flock note to sign up to spend some time with the Lord as we begin this year. But also, this feast of the Holy Trinity is a wonderful introduction. Goes along beautifully with the Feast of Corpus Christi and the Eucharist, because the Trinity, you know, there are libraries written on the Trinity and who precedes who and how it all works, and there's libraries written. But I promise, in all the years I was in the seminary and all the Trinitarian theology that I took, it was one book that has stuck with me on the Trinity, and it was about 100 pages long. I used it in my thesis, and now it's been a while, and so I can't remember the author nor the name of the book, but I know it exists. I know it exists because I'm not crazy and because I used it, but it's been a while. And it really is the best summary on the Trinity that I've ever read. And don't get me wrong, the saints, Augustine, Aquinas, do beautiful treatises on the Trinity, and they're really beautiful, but Aquinas tends to be wordy and complicated. Augustine tends to be more complicated. And so if I can remember the name of the book sometime, I'll send it out to everybody, because I highly recommend that you read it, even if it's still, I'm not sure if it's still in print, but it should be. But it was saying that really you want to understand the Trinity, you have to understand it based on love. The love that exists between the Father and the Son produces the Holy Spirit, and that Trinity is maintained together in love, or in other words, in relationship. And I remember really liking that book because that was something that I could really, relate to. Thank you. Oh. I could relate to, because we because the word relationship, we understand relationship. And we understand just in a human level, when you have a friend, your wife, your husband, you know the importance of having and maintaining a relationship. You can't call a friend if you never speak to them. No, your wife and your husband, you didn't just fall in love with each other because you looked at each other and that was it. And then you were married a year later. I don't think it works that way, even though I'm not married, but I'm pretty sure it doesn't work that way. But you had to enter into a relationship with each other to get to know each other. And that is what the Trinity is that relationship. And the Eucharist is the entrance into that relationship, to be part of that relationship. Because in the end, what is it that God wants from us? God wants one thing. What do you think he wants? A relationship. Thank you. You're listening. He wants to be one. He says that you and I, that they may be one, Father, as you and I are one. The only way we're going to have that oneness is if we have that relationship. So, we are facing a serious time in our history. I'm sure that you have all noticed this in the different aspects of life, but we really are living in a world of great division. Oh, it almost seems like everywhere you look, you know, there is being sowed the seeds of division. And that's not just happening outside of the church. You know, I'm not going to get on a soapbox and just say, oh, the world is in division. In some cases, it's worse inside the church, you know? If you read some of the things, if you keep up with church news, sometimes you just want to wag your head and throw your arms up, you know, as to what's happening, even in the greater church, especially when it comes to division. And we are facing scandals and doubts inside of the church, outside of the church. And so we are really living in a period of history in which I would dare, this is not an expert opinion, this is my opinion, in which I would dare to say that we are living our greatest sense of division in American history. Now, that's my own opinion. There are probably educational disagreements with that, but I'm gonna, that's, like I said, my opinion. And because we're facing these divisions both outside of the church and inside of the church saw the need for this revival so that we can get back to that relation, to what we're meant to be, so that we can be one. Jesus says in the Gospel of John, Father, that they may be one as you and I are one. And the only one that can heal the wounds of division, both outside of the church and inside of the church, is Jesus Christ. And it is the Eucharist. Because our world is hurting, we are in need of healing, but we're in need of healing, but the thing is, and how do we heal the divisions of the world? Well, as I just said, it can only be Christ. But the problem is that we have separated ourselves because we live in a world which is very anti-God. We have separated ourselves from the source of what can heal the division. And so what happens is that it becomes nothing more than a vicious circle. We stay in our division because we have moved away from Jesus Christ. And Christ wants to invite us, particularly in the church, Christ wants to invite us to return to the source and the summit of our faith in the Eucharist. And so this Eucharistic revival is a movement to restore understanding and devotion into the great mystery of Christ and of the Eucharist, and of helping us renew our worship of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. And so the revival is about our head and our hearts. And in order to really appreciate the Eucharist, we have to go through a conversion of both our head and our hearts, so that we can enter into that deeper relationship. And the revival is meant to help address sometimes our lack of understanding of the Eucharist, our lack of appreciation for the Eucharist, and to teach us really the grace that is available in receiving the Eucharist. And so where do we see, when we think about the Eucharist, where do we see the greatest lack of understanding and oneness in the Eucharist? Well, first, we face a serious problem, again, in the this is particular to us in the church, is that when we look at the Eucharist, there is the lack of belief in the real presence. And what I mean by that is that when the priest says the words of consecration, that the bread and the wine truly becomes the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ. Right now, at one time, about 14 years ago, when I was just starting to be a priest, the number was 54% of Catholics who are sitting in the pews on a Sunday, coming regularly to Sunday Mass, do not believe that when the priest says the words of consecration, that the bread and the wine truly become the body and blood of Christ. That was 14 years ago. The number has not gotten better. Now it would be about one-third of us. One-third of us sitting right now in these pews, right now, listening to me speak. That's a pretty high number, pretty staggering number. But why do we have this problem is because we don't understand, a lot of it stems from our misunderstanding of relationship. We don't live in a society which cherishes relationship. We can see this when we look at marriage. Oh, many times, sadly, when you look at it in the world, marriage is more, not in every case, but in a good amount of cases, marriage is a contract. I remain married to you, and as long as you fulfill the following things, and the moment that you don't fulfill the following things is a moment I go and find somebody else who will. Looking at the world, all of the different issues related to marriage and to relationship, our world is really in trouble when it comes to understanding the beauty of relationship and the beauty of marriage and the beauty of what God has truly called us to. But this shows us that what really, if we look at, I was saying this last week when I was speaking in the homily about our young people, is we crave relationship. But my dear brothers and sisters, we don't always have a healthy way. The world does not give us a healthy way of having that. And the Catechism of the Catholic Church, when it speaks about relationship, says the following. It says, God, infinitely perfect and blessed in himself, in a plan of share goodness, freely created man to make him share in his own blessed life. For this reason, at every time and in every place, God draws closer to man. He calls man to seek him, to know him, to love him with all his strength. And so God created us. We were created for relationship. If you read the book of Genesis, we were created to walk in the garden in the cool of the night with God. That is what we are meant for. That is why marriage between a man and a woman is a sign of the love between God and man. Is a sign of that love. Because we create, we want relationship with others, and the relationship, marriage produces, that sign of love produces children. That relationship. Again, and that relationship is a sign of the same relationship that God wants to have with me and you. God, if you read the prophets, they spend chapters comparing marriage to God, and they with Israel and talking about how Israel has cheated and how God wants one thing, to enter into a relationship with us. But my dear brothers and sisters, in relationship, we also have to understand sin. Because the Eucharist is not just a magic pill which gives us a relationship, but there's another side to this, which is sin. And that's why when we understand the Eucharist, we have to understand sin. When we receive the Eucharist, we have to have also a close relationship with the sacrament of confession. Because all of us who are in a relationship with each other, when you're married, do you make mistakes with each other? Right? You have arguments. Unless I'm really outdated and there's no arguments in marriage. You do argue, right? Yeah? Okay. Please tell me if I'm wrong. I don't think so. But you argue because you don't always see everything eye to eye. You don't always see everything the same. And when you argue, because you love each other and because that relationship is important, it means that you have to be able to recognize in that relationship that you did something wrong. Now, sometimes it may feel one-sided and may feel like you are always doing the thing wrong, but it's two-sided, trust me. And you have to heal that relationship. Or you have to, marriage is based on another very important thing. Forgiveness, correct? Yes? Yes? You're married, I'm not married. Well, I am married, but you know what I mean. It's based on forgiveness. I could ask those who are married for a long time, what is the secret to a long marriage? Forgiveness. Not holding grudges, being merciful with the other. Oh, and because you forgive each other, you grow in that relationship because we are able to do damage to our spouse. Well, my dear brothers and sisters, it's the same when it comes to the Eucharist. We are able to damage the relationship that we have with God. God wants a relationship, but sin impedes that relationship. No, sin is like taking the mirror of our soul, which reflects the image of God, and turning, when we sin, we take that mirror and we turn it to ourselves. We can always tell when we're in need of the sacrament of confession, because we find ourselves more, maybe a little more selfish, a little more egotistical, a little more always trying to get our way, and that's because we have sinned and broken the relationship with God. And so that relationship needs to be healed. And so how do we heal that? By going to the sacrament of confession. Well, because by saying to God, I was wrong, And I want to heal that relationship. I want to enter back into being one with you. And that's why when we receive the Eucharist, it's important that we are partaking of the sacrament at the same time we are partaking regularly of the sacrament of confession, because how can we receive the Lord if the relationship is broken? Oh, and that's why, my dear brothers and sisters, it's important to recognize our sin as we would in our marriages, in our friendships, and to be able to say, when I'm wrong, to be able to say, I'm wrong, I broke the relationship, so that relationship can be healed. And that's one thing we want to work on in this year. No, is that we don't just come up, it's very easy, we just come up to receive the Eucharist because everybody else does. But my dear brothers and sisters, we should really ask ourselves, when I come to receive the Eucharist, am I in a state of grace? Have I been away from the sacrament of confession too long? Because if I had, then I should not come up to receive the Eucharist, because the Eucharist is a sign of unity. But if the relationship is broken, and so I implore you, stay close to the sacrament of confession. I always say, I don't care where you go. Go. You go to St. Joe's, John the 23rd. Maybe you think, oh, I don't want Father Joe to know who I am. Or I don't want Father Joe to remember my sins. Trust me, there is no way in heck, with all of the confessions that I hear, there is no way in heck to remember them all. And God has given me the gift of a short memory in a lot of cases. And in even more cases, Father Joe will treat me differently. God has never treated me differently. Why would I treat you differently? Well, because God forgives our sin, because God gives us the grace that it's not the priest that you're speaking to. It's God through the priest that you are speaking to in the sacrament of confession. And so I highly encourage you, not to just come up to receive the Lord because everybody else does. But if you're not in a state of grace, then go to the sacrament of confession and receive the Lord next time. Because it's dangerous for our souls to receive the Lord when we're not in a state of grace. But also, and we'll be speaking about this year, it's also important the way we receive the Lord. You're going to go into, Father's going to tell us how to receive. No, Father is not going to tell you how to receive. But when you come to receive the Lord, it's important that we receive the Lord with reverence. I've been a priest for 14 years now. And in 14 years, I can say I've seen some interesting ways of receiving the Lord. I'm not going to go through them, but however you receive the Lord, whether you receive the Lord on the hand, on the tongue, kneeling and on the tongue, however you receive the Lord, it's important that we always check ourselves. Make sure we don't get sloppy, because we tend to get sloppy. It's just how we are. We tend to fall into the mechanical. But when you receive the Lord on the hand, to hold your hand at the level of your heart, that was the whole, to make a throne for the Lord. Please, I get this. Please, when you receive on the tongue, same thing. There is no one way better than the other. But my dear brothers and sisters, I've seen some things. I've had to do popcorn Jesus because sometimes people don't put out their tongues enough. I don't want to do popcorn Jesus many ways. Okay, so if you're going to receive on the tongue, receive it properly. In reverence, even when you receive the Lord on the hand, the other popcorn Jesus is, I see if I can catch Jesus with my tongue as I throw him towards my mouth. You make me cringe. please don't do these things, but is about receiving the Lord well. And I'm not, this is not a how one way is better than the other, because it's not. But however you receive, receive well. And we're going to be speaking about this in this year. We're going to be doing other things in this Eucharistic revival year. Like I said, next week we're going to have the all-night adoration. Deacon Vern will be doing a parish mission in December on the Eucharist, and there will be other events. And I highly ask you, in this year, as we grow closer to the Eucharist, let us also grow closer to the sacrament of confession, so that we can receive the mercy of the Lord and enter every day into a deeper relationship with our God, who loves us and wants nothing more from us than to love him back. Let us stand and profess our faith.